but again, sing it sincerely. It's just good to get together and appreciate your desire to be with us this Lord's Day morning for a time of worship together. Thank you very, very much for your attendance today. Looking around, in some ways I feel like I've just walked into a Miss America pageant. So many pretty people. Were there extra outlines? I don't know if you'd like an outline. Would you kind of gather up the extras if there were some? I printed an outline last week for today's lesson and kind of carried it over to this week. So if there are some, might be some extra outlines or notes, you're very welcome to have one. I see Leroy and Clarence. I think they'll probably make their way around, and you're very welcome to follow along. I'm going to be presumptuous and think you want to follow along. So you're a guest, especially if you're a guest with us. Please help yourself. The title of the lesson again is The Whole Armor of God. We'll be finishing it up this week. Went through the introduction and the first piece of armor that Paul is given instruction about, having your loins girt about with truth. And the second piece of armor is where we are today. It's in verse 14. And the instruction in this piece was having on the breastplate of righteousness. Yet all of these pieces, they're not optional. We need to put on the whole armor of God. The breastplate. Might be familiar with that in the soldier's armor. It was described as a coat of mail or a metal mesh that covered the chest and the back and the shoulders. In other words, it was the torso of the soldier that was being protected. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 5, it mentions about a man named Goliath. And it says, Goliath of Gath. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, that metal mesh, that armor. By the way, it mentions in the Bible, in the verse, that the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I don't know what that weighs, but I think 5,000 of anything. It is pretty heavy. But that was a provided protection for his torso. You and I have been given by God protection for our torso. A breastplate of righteousness. This is also associated with God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 172, the psalmist says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. Thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. When we think about the word righteousness, I want you to think about God's commandments and his word. And he's saying that our breastplate of righteousness is our walking in God's word. It's in our obedience to God's word. That provides protection to our heart. Our heart needs protection. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. So God, in his wisdom and by his design, has given us this armor. We mentioned last week having our waist and our midsection girt about with truth. And now he says, I want that same truth to protect your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, in Proverbs 23, verse 7. So we want to put on a breastplate of righteousness, obeying, doing God's will, God's way. In 1 John 3, verse 7, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. How can we keep from being deceived? The verse continues, because he says, he that does righteousness is righteous. We do righteousness. That which is right, as found in God. something in your nose to walk or run or stand or keep a balance. Shoes do that. I know you can do some of those things barefoot. But shoes provide something that just being barefoot doesn't provide. Being barefoot in rugged terrain was a hindrance. Now sometimes being barefoot, you might think, oh, barefoot's all right. Now, barefoot might be fine on this carpet. Rather nice and soft. It's cushy. Feels good. Run my toes, well, I can't, through the shag. But I've walked barefoot before. And when you walk barefoot in rugged terrain, it's not comfortable. Doesn't provide the feet any protection. You try walking barefoot down a gravel road. You walk barefoot across hot pavement. I've seen people walk, and it's gingerly. Paul says, I want you to put something on your feet. And it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, I want that gospel shod on your feet. We don't use that word very often. But if your feet are shod, you think about a horse having the shoes shod to his feet or his hoof. Those feet are shod. In other words, that shoe is fastened tightly. That shoe is secure. That shoe is going to be held on there. It's not loosened easily. It's not lost easily. Paul now says, I want the gospel on your feet fastened securely. I want that gospel tight, just as the soldier's shoes were shod to his feet. That would have picked that thick leather sole, but it went around the foot, up to the ankle, and around the leg. That shoe on the soldier was fastened securely. Now you take the preparation of the gospel means you need to develop knowledge of God's word. I want you to prepare, Paul says, to take the gospel of peace. I want you to, for us today, Paul is saying, involve yourselves in Bible study. Take the resources that are necessary to increase your knowledge of God's word. Prepare to preach the gospel as you're going. As we live our daily lives, get yourself prepared for that journey. Because someone may ask you the reason of the hope that lies within you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I didn't put this in your notes. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready. Be ready. Be ready always to answer every man that asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you. And then answer him with meekness and fear. Prepare. Put that armor on. Prepare yourselves to preach, to teach, to publish God's word as you go. Number four, taking the shield of faith, verse 16. Message is to take the shield that faith provides. Your faith is valuable to you. It's not just head knowledge. But it's putting that faith into practice. It's the application of what you know. That's your shield and my shield. The shield of the soldier was something very valuable to him, as all these pieces of armor. But it was held on the arm and it would be used to protect the entire body. It could be as large as 2 by 4 feet, a shield. Soldiers standing side by side could place their shields together, forming a wall, and it would be safe from anything that the enemy would throw at them. And that's what our shield does for us. Taking the shield of faith, it provides for you and me a defense, a wall, a barrier against all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we mentioned what those were in our very first lesson. Our faith, again, is tied to the Word of God. In Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. You lack, or think you lack in your faith, you need to study the Bible. Think, oh, my faith is not very strong. Then why aren't you in Bible class? Do you think you need more faith? Open the book. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. If you want to stand and be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, increase your faith through Bible study. That's the shield. Number 5, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. By the way, for our guests, I'm a clock-watching preacher. I don't always preach everything I have in my notes. I'm looking at the clock. So if you want to hear everything, I'll photocopy my notes for you, and you can read everything I have prepared. But sometimes I look at the clock and I need to speed this along. So number 4, verse 16. Taking the shield of faith. I just talking about that? I'm glad you're listening, because sometimes I don't listen to myself. I get my tongue tangled around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. So number 5, in verse 17, the helmet of salvation. So you take salvation for a helmet. Reverse those words. You wonder what the helmet of salvation is? We know what the helmet of the soldier was. It was that cap made of thick leather or bronze or brass that covered his head and cheeks. An intelligent soldier would want to cover the source of his intelligence, his mind. The helmet of salvation. That's yours and mine, blessed assurance that we stand on God's side. It's the knowledge, it goes back to the word of God, it's the knowledge that we have, that we know that we've obeyed God in everything that we can. That when we became a Christian, we, as Acts 2 verse 38 says, we repented and were baptized. We have salvation for a helmet that gives us confidence wherein we stand. That it lets others know to whom we belong. We have taken salvation for a helmet. You don't need, as James says, be wavering in your faith. You don't need to be double-minded. You can rest assured that you have answered the call successfully and correctly. That you have obeyed God. As in 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, we have an answer of a good conscience. God, this is what you've said. This is what I've done. We've matched. We've coincided. God, I've looked at your obligations for me, and I've put myself therein. A helmet of salvation. God, my spirit bears witness with your spirit that I'm a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I didn't put that on your notes either. But my spirit, my mind, testifies with your spirit, your word, that we're together, that we match. Put salvation on for a helmet. Confidence, assurance that you're on God's side. Number 6. All right? Check with my ladies. Number 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Put in your notes, the sword was used for both offense and defense. And he identifies again this piece of armor, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus met every temptation with, it's written. It's written. In Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin value of God's Word, the ability that it has. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says the Word of God is quick, meaning it's living, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. What value is God's word? What will it do for you? Offense and defense. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that's you and me, may be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't diminish God's Word at all, and the ability that it gives you to fight against the wiles of the devil and the world of darkness. Number 7, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. In this verse, you might have heard preachers or Bible class teachers, this verse mentions the four alls of prayer. Verse 1, first all of praying is just a prayer, is pray always. Always. Don't ever stop. In all conditions, all circumstances, all occasions. You pray always. Always. And then with all prayer, and all kinds of prayer, public, private, every kind, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession, just prayers. Use every kind of prayer that's available. All kinds, or all prayer. And then with all perseverance and supplication. When times are tough, when times are discouraging, when seemingly hope is lost, you pray as part of your armor. Let nothing hinder prayer. Nothing. And then he mentions for all saints. In Paul's letters, seem like unfailingly, he lets them know that he's praying for them. For others. For others. You see, the illustration is no soldier enters the battle fighting for himself alone. Alright? He fights with fellow soldiers. Even though we form one army, we have a common cause. And each must pray, yes, I pray for me, but I pray for you, for fellow soldiers in this battle. So in your prayers, in praying always and using all prayer with all perseverance, you pray for all the saints. Don't leave one another out. In our bulletin, we have a prayerfully remember list. That list is like getting larger. But that doesn't exhaust the list. There's still others in this army. These are the ones that we may have called attention to right now. They've let needs be known. But you get your church directory out. You think, oh, I can't think of anybody I need to pray for right now. Just start with page 1, Anderson. Start alphabetically. Look what Paul says to himself again. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery. And then he says, pray for all things. And then he mentions watching. In prayer, there's a sense that we ought to pray with eyes wide open. Of course, the message is be alert. The message is be awake. I know there's times we want to fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. That to eliminate the distractions. But there's times you need to pray with eyes wide open. Look for the opportunities. Seize the moment. The Bible says, watch and pray. In Matthew 26, verse 41, that's what Jesus said, watch and pray. The idea of watching that you enter not into temptation. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Oh my. Put the armor on. In Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Watch and pray. So the message is, brethren, report for duty. Report for duty. I close with just a simple statement in your notes. We put on the whole armor of God before the battle. Before the battle. Before the battle. Put on the armor of God. Prepare for battle. Then we take our stand in the strength of the Lord and we withstand the enemy. The whole armor of God. That's the lesson this morning. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, never been baptized for remission of sins, not a Christian, we extend this invitation at the close of the lesson. So there may be one here this morning has not done that. So there's a prescription, a plan, a formula, a recipe. You say steps to salvation. In Romans chapter 10, Paul asked the question, how can you have faith or believe in someone in whom you've not heard? Romans 10, verse 14, by the way. You have to hear. And then once you've heard the good news message, then that's number one, the ingredients are. Then number two, you'll need to believe that message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Want to avoid that. Then number three, you'll need to repent of your sins. Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said it. Except you repent, you shall all like manner perish. Then number four, you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He says, here's water, what hindered me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the confession. Philip commanded the chariot to stop. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him, number five. Baptized him. Came up out of the water. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Not because he still has a long journey ahead of him. Not because his sins are forgiven. That's the invitation we extend. It's a heavenly invitation. Hear the word of God. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And be baptized. Then you rise to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. A song of invitation. A song of exhortation. If you need to respond in a public way, while we're singing this song or at the close, just come and have a seat beside me. At the close of that song, I'll just ask you a question. What's on your mind? And your response is, Brian, I want to be baptized. And we will stop the assembly. And you'll be baptized immediately. That's the invitation. Whosoever will, may come. Let's stand and sing this song that the closest selected.